Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 1. We're going to read a passage of Scripture here together. The Bible says there, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of the Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers," that word seers meaning prophets or preachers, "see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Lord of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessels that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the earth, or to take water out of the pit." Verse number 18, if you would. "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us and preserved for us. And Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to work in our hearts today, work in our spirit. Help us to be yielded and open to you as you try to speak to us. Help us to be listening and wanting to hear your word. Father, teach us this morning. Teach us to rely on you. And help us now in this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. If you can have patience, please, with my voice this morning, it sounds hoarse and raspy and doesn't sound real nice to listen to. But if you'll put up with me, you put up with me, please. And thanks for your patience too. I know the parking lot thing's a mess, and they're you know, crunch time, getting to deadlines, wanting to have things done before school, I'm sure. And dump trucks are going to be going in and out of there all day. And so hopefully nobody's car gets smashed or run over. But not to make you worried. I'm sure everything will be fine. And I'm dirty. My shoes are dirty up here. I can't tell if they're black or white this morning. And maybe next week, if you're lucky, maybe we should set up a shoe shining station in the hallway. And when you come in from the parking lot, we'll polish all your shoes. And if you want to leave them with us for the week, we'll just polish them, keep them here. I don't know. But amen. We'll get Christian to do that. He looks like a good shoe shine boy. And amen. The key verse this morning for the message is verse number 7 there. And that's where the title of the message comes from. Verse 7, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." And that's God crying out. God crying out about his people. And says their strength is to sit still. The strength of God's people is to sit still, trust God, and to wait upon him. The problem is that sometimes God's people become impatient with waiting on God. And so we take things into our own hands. We try to do things our own way. We try to accomplish things in our own strength, in our own help and ability. Sometimes Christians don't like waiting on God. Sometimes we don't like waiting for God's perfect timing, and so we try to do things according to our timing and according to our plans. And if we'll be honest, that doesn't always work out very well. Sometimes God's people don't like the answer they're getting from God, and so they go about trying to figure things out their own way. Sometimes people become impatient at having to sit still and trust God. I mean, being encouraged to sit still and to wait on God is like telling a little child full of energy, I want you to sit there and don't move. Now, Christians don't like that either. Christians have difficulty. They want to move. They want to do something. We want an answer. We want to see something right now. When God was describing the actions of his people here in Isaiah chapter 30, he makes a great statement, and he says, their strength is to sit still. The strength of God's people is to sit still, to trust God, and to wait upon him. But sadly, Christian people don't always like to do that like they should. And sometimes Christians, we end up forfeiting God's strength. We end up forfeiting God's help in our life, and we often even miss out on God's will or even lose God's blessings in our life, maybe because we've made some wrong choices or made some wrong decisions, or we've gone in a hurry and just done something on our own or in our own way rather than relying on God for strength or help or wisdom. God wants his people to have hearts that seek God, that trust God, that rely on God, and that wait on God for everything in their life. God wants us to wait on him for joy and peace and direction and purpose and counsel and wisdom, for understanding, for strength, for help. And he can truly help us in every area of our life if we'll wait on him. The strength of God's people, I said, is to sit still, to trust God, and to wait upon him. I want you to notice with me a few things this morning. As we read a verse, let's read it together, and then listen close, if you would. You'll get more out of it. There's some parts of the scripture that are very easy to understand. And some chapters of the Bible that if you were to just sit here reading the Bible in church, you maybe wouldn't get a whole lot out of it. But as we come, and as God does want to use preachers to help explain his word and give discernment, we see that throughout the Bible, through the book of Ezra. They would read the word of God, and then a man would stand up and give discernment, give understanding, help people to understand. I want to help share an important truth here this morning from these verses. Isaiah chapter 30, and let's just look at the beginning there of verse 1. And I want to bring some things that point us together to this thought of sitting still. In chapter 30, verse 1, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. God says, woe to them that seek their counsel, but not from him, not from God. Woe to God's people who counsel with the world and counsel with others and maybe even counsel with themselves, but they do not seek counsel from God. Can I say something? God wants to be our counselor. Remember one of those verses that's talking about Jesus Christ says, wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Hey, God wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your source of wisdom and help. The Bible says in Proverbs, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from him. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Listen, God wants you to have wisdom. God wants to be your counsel. God wants to be your help. You have difficult decisions in life. Seek God's word for counsel. Spend time in prayer and ask God. God, I need your help. I've got things in my life and I don't know what to do. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for help. God says there, woe to them. He was discouraged by looking at his people and seeing how the nation of Israel, they were going to others. They were seeking counsel from others, but not seeking counsel from their God. From their God. Our strength is going to come from sitting still. Sitting still and trusting God for wisdom. And trusting God's word for wisdom. Trusting God's word for our counsel. Rather than, well, I'm going to go find counsel somewhere else. No, your strength is going to be to sit still and trust God and trust God's word for the wisdom and counsel that you need. Again, notice verse 1, the second part of the verse. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Woe to God's people who try to cover their sin, often covering sin with more sin. Do you know that people will lie and commit more sins in order to hide and cover up other sins? It has to be like that. Anytime we've sinned, we do wrong, and we want to hide it and cover it up, we end up having to lie or somehow be dishonest or somehow do something to try to hide it, to try to cover it, and we end up adding sin to sin. We end up committing more sin just to hide or try to cover up our sins. You know that even King David had to do that? He had to end up, he didn't have to, but he had Uriah killed after he ended up committing adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And then he did everything possible to try to get Uriah home from battle, one of his warriors, one of his soldiers, and get Uriah to come home and stay with his wife, but he wouldn't do that. And all the plans were just not working out as David was trying to cover up and hide his sin. And so finally he sends him back to battle, sends him to the very front lines and says, "You make sure that he's in the front lines and have the other soldiers withdraw, and I want Uriah killed." He ended up having Uriah murdered to cover up his sin of adultery. We see that terrible example in the Bible of what one man did. Listen, God doesn't want us to try to hide or cover up our sins. God wants to be the one to cover our sins. God wants to do that. Our salvation comes from sitting still and trusting what God has already done for us. You know, we cannot hide. We cannot cover our sins and get away with it. I was thinking about this early this morning. Thought came to my mind. You know what? We can hide our sins or try to cover our sins, but that doesn't make us innocent. And sometimes people maybe think themselves, no, we hide or cover our sins. That doesn't make us innocent. We hide or cover our sins. It just proves that we know that we're guilty. That we know that we're guilty. God doesn't want us to hide or cover our sins. He wants to do that. We have a wonderful promise in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Listen, God wants it to be His Spirit that covers our sin. He wants it to be the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin. That's why God, the loving Heavenly Father, sent His Son Jesus to come and die on the cross for you and for me. He can cover and pardon and forgive our sins when we come to Him in confession and repentance. But we have to sit still and trust God. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. Sometimes people go about trying to make their own righteousness. Go about trying to, well, can I make a covering for my sin? Can I somehow do enough that my life pleases God? And He says, no, we can't. We can't. We can't cover our sin. We can't hide our sin. Only God can cover it. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Our good works, they cannot save us. They cannot. God wants to be the one to cover our sins. Our salvation is going to come from sitting still and trusting Him. Isaiah 30, and look there at verse 2. It says that walk to go down into Egypt. Again, Egypt was a picture of the world many times in the Bible, representing the world. And it says that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. In other words, they went where they wanted to go and they didn't ask me what they should have done. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Woe to God's people who always go their own direction. Living life just doing what they want to do. Going where they want to go. Stepping in the direction where they want to step. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God wants to order your steps. God wants to direct the paths in your life. He wants you to let Him do that. And He says, woe to them. Woe to them. Those that just won't sit still and trust me. Those that won't sit still and ask, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What step do you want in my life? Is this what I should do or not? He says, woe to them that they're just going off their own direction, making their own decision. I want them to seek me. I want them to trust me. Are we sometimes guilty in our lives of doing what we want without seeking God's will or letting God direct? God wants to be the one in charge of your life and your direction. And you say, well, what right does He have? Well, He's God. He's God. And He wants to be your God. He wants to be the Lord of your life. God wants to be the one in charge of your life and your direction. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what God wants us to do. But his people were not doing that in Isaiah chapter 30. They had gone their own direction. They had chosen their own steps, their own path. And they hadn't sought God for, what do you want me to do? Oh, and God didn't like that. God didn't like that. God wants to be the one in charge. I said this a few statements this morning. God wants to be our counselor and our source of wisdom. God wants to be the one to cover our sins. God wants to be the one in charge of your life and your direction. Can I say again, the strength of God's people is to sit still, trust God, and wait upon him. Here in chapter 30 and verse 2, again, the second half of the verse says this, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. You notice that they're not getting their strength from God. It says they want to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They want to strengthen themselves in the strength of Egypt. They want to strengthen themselves in the strength of the world instead of strengthening themselves in God. Woe to God's people when their trust and confidence is placed in man, not God. Woe to God's people when they seek their strength from Egypt or from the world rather than from God. You know that sometimes people seek to have their needs met by the world rather than God? Listen, God is the one who can fulfill your needs. People seek their approval many times from the world rather than from God. Rather than being interested in, well, what does God think? And is God pleased with my life? Many times people's interest is or concern, what does man think about me? Does man approve of me? We're to be live a life approved on by God. Approved by God. People will seek the approval of the world rather than God. People trust the government. People trust their boss at work. People trust others more than they trust God. You know, we mistakenly forget who is the true source of all that we have. Sometimes we think, well, if I didn't get that paycheck from my boss at work or from my employer or from that company I work for, what would I do? I don't know. Sit still and trust God. Rely on God to give you another job, a better job, to meet your needs. Sometimes we can be so dependent on man or so dependent on things and so on. And our trust is actually in someone else rather than our trust being in God. Sometimes because people trust so much on a certain thing or trust in their work or trust in the government or trust in whoever, they haven't learned to pray and trust God. They've never learned to pray and ask God, give us this day our daily bread. They've never had to. Why? Because they're trusting someone else to meet all their needs. Sometimes people will do all sorts of things for money that they would not do for God. Sometimes people trust, again, others to meet their needs more than they're truly trusting God. God, here's the next statement. God wants his people to learn to trust him to meet all our needs. God wants his people to learn to trust him to meet all our needs. Oh, it's easy for us to think, well, I can take care of everything. I can take care of myself. Well, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that if you want to. But do you know that we have a God as a heavenly Father who, us as his children, he likes it when we depend on him. He likes it when we trust him. He likes it when we realize that the strength and the ability that we had to breathe air today and go and work our job today, it was God who gave us that strength and ability. He likes it when we realize that the wealth that we do have and the things that we do have, it truly has come from God and it's a gift from God. Matthew 6:33, in the midst of a passage of scripture where Jesus was teaching about money and Jesus was teaching about our physical possessions and so on, he stressed that people should trust God to meet all their needs as they put God first and honor God first. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what Jesus was trying to say? I want you to be trusting God. I want you to be seeking God. I want you to be putting God first in your life. And I want it to be that you're trusting him to meet your needs. You're not just trusting your own strength. You're not just trusting an employer. You're not just trusting someone else. You're trusting God in your life. He wants us to live that kind of life. Life of faith, walking by faith. The strength of God's people is to sit still, live by faith, and learn to trust God. We'll learn to trust him. Again, look with me at Isaiah chapter 30. And look at verse 3 to 6. Isaiah 30 verse 3 to 6. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. He's talking about those that are trusting in the world, trusting in Egypt, so forth, their strength. And so it's actually going to be end up being your shame. It's actually going to end up being your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Haines. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence came the young and old. Notice the end of the verse. Again, it's describing that of Egypt and so on, and says, to a people that shall not profit them. They were really putting all their trust in people that really could not help them at all. Really could not profit them. Really could not meet their needs and so on. Living in Egypt or living like the world or following after the world in our lusts and desires, trusting in the world instead of trusting in God, will lead to shame and confusion and greater burdens to bear. And we don't really want to have you testify about that. But those would be honest and know from experience of times of having gone into the world or lived in the world or lived in times of sin, it has become a reproach. It's become a heavy burden to bear. Maybe because of things we've done or directions we've gone or times where we just didn't like waiting on God and we didn't trust God and we did things our own way. It's become very difficult for us, a hard burden to bear. Sometimes maybe there's a feeling of shame. Sometimes maybe a feeling of confusion. But certainly there's burdens that we carry that become heavy weights in our life. God's people were never intended to live in the world or to live like the world. A statement I wanted to make was this: God wants his people to walk in his ways. God wants his people to walk in his ways. When we think, oh, I just kind of want to go my own way. Oh, you go ahead and go your own way. But it may lead to shame or reproach or confusion. It may lead to greater burdens that you're going to bear in your life. Things that you weren't expecting. Things that you weren't kind of wanting or desiring. But that's what's going to happen. Psalm 37, 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keep his way. We need to walk in his ways. The strength of God's people is to sit still, to trust God, and walk in his ways. We sing a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We've got to do that. Listen, God never intended for us to live in Egypt. God never intended for you to live in the world or walk in the world, live the world's kind of lifestyle. He wants you to live for him. And if we as God's people walk in the wrong way, walk in the directions and go where he doesn't want us to go, it can bring shame and confusion and heartache and burdens. Look with me there at chapter 30 and verse 7. Verse 7. Just the first part of the verse, it says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. The word vain really means empty. Nothing. It's an emptiness. It's vain. It does nothing meaningful. That shall help in vain. Their vain will be nothing. It'll be empty. It'll be meaningless to no purpose. You know what? God's people, when they do go the wrong way, they will learn that the world really cannot help them. Purpose and fulfillment and joy for God's people comes only from walking with God and following after God and trusting God and obeying God. What the world has to offer is vain and empty. It has no purpose. It cannot satisfy. And it will leave God's people feeling empty and unfulfilled. Second part of that verse, verse 7 says, therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. You can take that cry however you want. Is it God just so discouraged with his people that he's crying out in a lamenting voice? Why won't my people listen to me? Why won't my people trust me? Why are my people always going their own way? Anytime there's that word cry, there's an urgency to it. Is God crying out for his people? Why don't they learn? Their strength would be just to sit still and trust me. Their strength would be just to sit still and obey me. Their strength would be to sit still and to walk in my ways. But instead, they're seeking their strength someplace else. They're relying on themselves. They're trusting themselves. They're going their own way. Or can you imagine even God's tears of crying that his people have just gone the wrong direction? God is crying out. He's warning. He wants his people to understand the error of their way. And God says their strength is to sit still. It's far better off to sit still and trust God rather than always running around doing things our own way. Our own way. Look with me at verse number 8, if you would. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 to 11. The Bible says, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." This is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, in other words, the preachers, "See not." And to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things." You see the heart condition here of the people? The people have so much gone in their own ways. They've trusted in themselves. They've trusted in Egypt. They've trusted in the world. They've sought their own counsel. They've sought their own strength. They've gone their own ways. And now when God tries to send some of his prophets and some of his preachers to try to help them, to try to get them to listen to the word of the Lord, they're like, "No, no, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Prophesy not unto us right things. We don't want to hear that. Speak not unto us smooth things." Or in other words, they do say, "Speak unto us smooth things. Don't preach us the right things," because you know what? The right things are always hard things, as opposed to being smooth and something we like to hear, something that tickles our ear. People actually say to the preachers, "Would you just prophesy deceits? Rather than giving us the truth, just give us kind of what we want. Give us something dishonest." Look at what else they say to them. "Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path." God's people here are now saying to me, "Get out of the way. We don't care what you have to say anymore. We don't want to hear what you say. You get out of the way. You turn out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We don't want the word of the Lord anymore. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon." Listen, God is displeased, greatly displeased. He sees the heart condition of the people. They are gone so much in their own way. They don't want to listen. Notice the anger of God. He says, because you're despising my word, because you're trusting oppression and perverseness. Verse 13 and 14. "Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit." Notice the anger of God towards his people. God says, "I'm so sick. I'm so discouraged by my people. They've walked in their own ways. They've sought their own counsel. They haven't wanted to listen to me. They've gotten to the point now where they say, I get rid of the prophets. We don't like the preachers. We don't like them trying to get us back to follow the Lord. We don't want to listen to anything. We're so full much going our own way." God says, "I'm going to bring some judgment because they'd not learned to sit still and trust him. They instead are relying on their own strength," which, can I say, is really only weakness. Our own strength is really only weakness. But that's what they were doing. They were trusting in their own selves for strength. They were trusting in Egypt for strength. They were seeking their approval and strength and everything from other places rather than seeking it from God. They were trusting in others rather than trusting in God. And God's heart was broken as he looked at his people. What's the remedy? What's the solution? What can we do if we would even honestly say, you know what, there are areas of my life where I've maybe walked in my own way. There are maybe times in my life where, yeah, I've been impatient with God. And I've not been wanting to wait on God for the answer. And so I've just tried to figure things out for myself. Instead of getting counsel from God or God's word, I've gotten counsel from my peers. I've gotten counsel from friends. I've gotten counsel from the world. And I'm just figuring everything out on my own. What about when we've sought to please God more than we have to, or please the world more than we have to please God? What about if we have maybe been truly trusting in other things for our needs or for fulfillment or whatever it may be, rather than trusting in God? What's the remedy? What does God want his people to do? Notice verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. And in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. What's he saying? As upset as I am at my people, as discouraged and brokenhearted as God would have been, as he cries out to my people, oh, I wish they would just learn their strength is to sit still. And he's ready to judge. He's so discouraged by the way his people have been. He still says, if they will return to me and rest, sit still. Be willing to sit still and start trusting him instead of trusting themselves. I'll save them. I'll save them out of their trouble. I'll save them out of what their heartaches and so on that they have right now. I'll relieve them of those burdens that they've been carrying. In returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence. Confidence, again, as we said last week, in him. Confidence in him, returning to him, where now we trust him again. Rather than trusting ourselves, rather than trusting the world, we put our confidence in him. Then we'll have that strength. There is a remedy. Maybe we've not trusted in him like we should. Maybe we've too often trusted in ourselves. Maybe we've trusted in the world. Maybe we've trusted in others. Maybe we've sought counsel from the others. Maybe we've been going our own way, our own direction. Maybe we've even gone into some things in our life that we know would be displeasing to the Lord. And because of that, there's an emptiness. There's heartache. There's burdens. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Just lastly, notice verse 18. And I want you to see God's mercy. God's mercy. We see the remedy in verse 15. I want you to see in verse 18 God's mercy. And therefore will the Lord wait. Boy, you would think if you were reading early in those verses, you'd think, boy, God is there ready. He's got his fist raised. And God is so sick of his people that he is just ready to judge and destroy them. He's so sick of his people going their own way, living their own way, trusting in themselves, trusting in the world. So many things. He's ready to judge, but no, God is so merciful. So merciful. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, blessed are all they that wait for him. It may be that there's areas of our life where we need to return to him. It may be that there's things of life where we've been impatient with God. And we need to learn to sit still and trust him. We need to learn to wait on him. Rather than seeking counsel from the world, rather than going our own direction, rather than going our own way, rather than just trying to seek our approval and strength from the world and from Egypt and so on, maybe we need to return to God. Maybe we need to learn to sit still and rest in God and wait on God and trust God again, like we've not been doing. And isn't it wonderful that if that is your desire, God is still there waiting. He's merciful and gracious. If maybe we've thought that, oh, I can take care of my sins. I can cover my sins. I can hide my sins. I can make it so that, you know, they're covered and everything will be okay and I'll go to heaven. No, we can't cover our sins. God says, only I can cover your sins. Only I can pardon your sins. Only I can forgive your sins. Your salvation is only going to come from sitting still and trusting God. Listen, we need to wait on God this morning, trust him. Remember that our strength is to sit still. Look at one verse with me and we'll be finished. Jeremiah chapter 17. If you're in the book of Isaiah still, Jeremiah will be the very next book of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. We won't prosper going our own way. But God will bless those who trust in him. And God will bless those who trust in him. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm," or maketh flesh his strength, "and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, a desert land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from her cease from yielding fruit." What a difference we see. One will be like in the desert of life, and the life will be desolate. Why? Because they've trusted in themselves, because they've gone their own way. They sought their own counsel. They sought their own strength. They relied on the world for their strength. They relied on the world for their fulfillment. They relied on the world for their approval and so on. We trusted in the world. We sought after the world. We sought the counsel of the world. We walked in our own ways. And God says, that is not the kind of life that will be a blessed life. That'll be a life that'll become a desert type of life, a desolate type of life. But the one that does learn to sit still and trust in the Lord and to wait on God in their life, that will be the very blessed life. Wait on God. Trust Him. Remember something. Our strength is to sit still. It kind of goes contrary to what we want to do, because we're impatient. We think my strength is up and in doing something. My strength is in figuring out the answer for myself. My strength is in getting something accomplished. My strength is in I can make decisions and I can go my own way. That makes me strong. No, that doesn't make you strong. That just proves that we're stubborn and we're going our own way. Our strength is going to be to sit still and to trust God and to wait on Him. Remember too, for your salvation, your salvation can only come from sitting still and trusting God. Every one of us must trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Could you tell me maybe a time, a place, whatever, where you realized that you were a sinner and you made a decision, understanding that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died on the cross for you. And He paid the penalty for your sins and He rose again. And did you make a personal decision to say, "I'm believing that. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to be my Savior. I need His forgiveness for my sins. I need God's forgiveness. I know that, listen, only God can pardon or cover or forgive your sins. And you must trust Him. Our salvation doesn't come from, well, how can I work my way to heaven? The Bible gives examples of people going about making their own righteousness to try to get to heaven. We can't do that. The book of Hebrews actually says we need to rest in Him. It's through resting and ceasing from our own good works. That's the only way we can be saved. We must cease from our own works or human attempts to save ourselves. And we must put our trust and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so we could be forgiven of our sins. Our salvation. You think, well, I can work for my salvation. You know, if I be a pretty good person, I think I'll go to heaven. You know, if I do some good works and I'm nice to my neighbors and I try to be a good family person, I do all these things, then I surely I'll go to heaven. No, God says you don't get saved by all those things that you do. Your salvation can't come from your own strength, from your own works, from your own anything. Our salvation can only come when we rest in Him. And we sit still and we trust God, realizing, I'm a sinner. I could never save myself. I don't deserve heaven. God's grace and God's mercy, He will receive you. And He'll forgive you of your sins and He'll take you to heaven. But you got to sit still and trust God. And maybe there's some other areas, Christian, where we need to sit still. And realize our strength comes from sitting still and trusting Him. Not going about our own strength, our own counsel, seeking others, whatever it may be. Wait on God, trust Him. Our strength is to sit still. Our strength is to sit still. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.